Welcoming into the program a writer, director, producer of a number of acclaimed documentaries, including The Life and Times of Hank Greenberg, You Who Mrs. Goldberg, Rosenwald, and a brand new film that is absolutely terrific, the story of Mo Berg, the spy behind Home Plate. We're pleased to be joined by Aviva Kempner. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for your kind words. Yes, I'm very excited. I'm in New York. The film opened up last week in Washington. This week it's opening up in New York and New Jersey and Philadelphia, and we're going to L.A. next week, and I expect it sometime I'll be up in Maine.
Well, it is such a wonderful film. Carrie and I have both had a chance to watch it, and we knew a little bit about the story of Mo Berg, but we learned so much, and I guess what I learned from your film is that even if he had never been a spy, his story was an incredible one, maybe one of the smartest people ever to play professional sports.
Correct. They called him the brainiest man to ever play baseball, and he spoke at least 10 languages, if not more, although the joke is he couldn't hit in any of them. But actually, that's really not fair. He was 15 years in the major league, and he did have an average of .243. And started out in shortstop and then moved to catcher, which I think, you know, in a way helped prepare him being a spy. You know, you have to do the secret signals to the pitcher, and then you have to, like, you know, everything that's happening on the field. So he was quite a personality, both playing baseball, but then when after Pearl Harbor happened, FDR started the OSS, which was our specific intelligence agency. And partly Ian Fleming of 007 claim, who developed James Bond, came and helped set up the OSS. And Mo was one of the most important spies because he was the one earmarked to do the espionage on whether or not the Germans had the nuclear bomb. And we know that that would have really changed the whole world. We probably wouldn't be talking now. They had developed that. But we didn't know that when we were, you know, developing the Manhattan Project, and it was really Mo's ability to speak languages and sort of be a chameleon and going in and out, and his biggest mission was checking out if Heisenberg, who was giving a lecture in Zurich, was equipped, you know, knowledgeable enough to develop a bomb in Germany, and with a gun and a cyanide pill in his pocket. That's when he was listening to the lecture. But you have to see the movie to see what he finally did, and it's called The Spy Behind Home Plate. And I think, you know, we talk about many baseball players. I assume you have a lot of Red Sox fans coming out of Maine. Ted Williams went off to war. Hank Greenberg, who I made a film before, Joe DiMaggio, Bob Feller. Mo left coaching career to go risk his life every day. And sometimes we forget what these athletes, you know, did for our country. And also, I think there should be asterisks in the stat boxes because they never had, you know, full careers. I mean, I know Hank lost 4.5. Probably Mo would have gone out to be a coach or a manager. So it's pretty incredible. And, you know, we opened it specifically on Memorial Day, so we remember in the past how much contribution someone like Mo made to our country.
Well, and his family story is fascinating as well. His father didn't think much of his baseball career, wanted to become a lawyer, which he did, but as you point out in the film, his father never watched him play professional baseball.
Can you imagine all the years Mo played as a youngster, and he was a star at Princeton, 15 years in the major leagues, and not once did Bernard Berg go see him play? Yeah, I guess he just thought it was frivolous and it wasn't something he wanted, you know, as an immigrant, his son to be doing, which is, you know, a very sad story. And actually, he just died before Mo and his brother also joined and, you know, fought the war effort. So, unfortunately, he never really got to see how brave both his sons were.
And maybe what was a little bit of a foreshadowing of what was to come, I found it really interesting that his first sort of organized team of baseball, he had to adopt an identity because it was for a church league that he shouldn't have been playing on.
Well, you know, gentlemen, it's really interesting that you talked to me today because he died this day in 1972, and we don't know where his ashes where supposedly his sister sent them to Israel, but that was never confirmed. When he was a young boy, like you say, he played on a Christian team, so he changed his name to Rod Wolf. All the books say he was born in early March. When we found his birth certificate, he's really born on May 3rd, and it was recorded on May 8th. So my line is Moberg is a mystery from birth until death. But, you know, I've been thinking all day that I'm so happy that I did this film so he doesn't go into obscurity, and that, you know, my MO is to make films about underknown Jewish heroes. And, you know, we worry about the capability of North Korea and in the Middle East and Russia in unleashing a nuclear power. And I can think of is all the spies that are operating right now and how difficult it is and how dangerous it is. So I'm glad to be able to tell one man's story.
We're talking with filmmaker Aviva Kempner. The new documentary is The Spy Behind Home Plate. I thought it was very interesting to hear in the film about his work with John Kiernan, the sports writer who really took a shine to him because he was so incredibly quotable. And then his experiences on the quiz show that was the rage of the nation at the time, Information Please.
Well, it's funny because, you know, there's this one gentleman, I forgot his name, who's on Jeopardy right now for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yes.
And, you know, Mo Berg in the early 40s was on this Information Please and had the best answers for the most erudite questions, except when it would be anything about the law. Even though he had gone to law school, he just didn't want to be asked about that. He got so many letters that baseball commissioner Landis said, boy, you did more for baseball than I ever did. So it was quite, you know, back then it was only radio, there was no TV, and it's just, he got thousands of letters because people were just fascinated by the way he could answer the questions. I mean, we have some smart guys in baseball now. I was able to get Brad Osmus, who is the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, who had previously been a catcher. Also Jewish, also Dartmouth had gone to an Ivy League school. But I think Mo Berg is in a category unique to anyone else. And, you know, I believe we tell a great story because it combines the golden age of baseball, which is my favorite time. You know, just the American League and the National League. You know, you either win or not and you go to the World Series, not all these playoffs, daytime games. You know, the players weren't in it so much for the money. Not that that's all what it is today, but really some incredible baseball back then. Among them was a man who would sit there in the dugout and, you know, tell the fellow pitchers, you know, what was happening in Europe. I mean, he could spin quite a tale about what the current events were and then dress up at night and go off to embassy parties because he played for the Senators some years.
Now, he made two trips to Japan, one to teach the game, and then one with an all-star group. And while he was there, took a movie camera with him, and that film was later used, as you point out, by a Jimmy Doolittle in the raids on Tokyo. Do you think that the film he took, did he intend for that to be part of an early espionage effort?
I think he definitely took it as an intelligence matter. My belief, he did it more on his own volition. But either way, you know, and later on, the government actually asked Lefty Gomez, who was also on the trip, taking footage, and Jimmy Fox for their footage. And by the way, we have these great home movies of the ship going over with a lot of fun with Babe Ruth and the others. You know, this was, and Lou Gehrig, this was quite a trip, you know. And it was also to Japan, which was sort of the last ditch effort before Japan became so bent on military rule. So it wasn't so much dangerous because it was, you know, a goodwill trip, but the kind of things that Mo was trying to do.
And a great anecdote that you tell in the film as well about Babe Ruth's reaction to the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Right. I'm staying right now in New York by Riverside Avenue, and up the street is where Babe lived. And when he heard about Pearl Harbor, he had received all these, you know, delicate porcelain pottery from the Japanese on this goodwill trip. He was so furious, he starts throwing it out the window. And I have Babe's daughter, before she passed away, talking about how her mother had to prevent Babe from throwing the more pottery out the window because he was so furious.
Yeah, and
it was out of that intelligence failure, that Pearl Harbor raid, that the OSS was born, that Roosevelt knew that we had to do better to find out, what our upcoming enemies were up to. And it was actually, I know a lot of us are James Bond fans, and I tell in the film how Ian Fleming, who later on wrote all the James Bond novels, was part of MI6, and he came to this country to help Wild Bill Donovan plot out what the OSS would be about.
Also interesting that Wild Bill Donovan was used as an emissary by President Roosevelt because FDR didn't trust his own ambassador, Joseph P. Kennedy.
Right, yeah. That was a different political time. We weren't sure if we were going to be isolationists or not. But FDR certainly was sympathetic to, by that time the British had been, London had been blitzkrieged. And because of Pearl Harbor, we got involved. But I think we would have gotten involved anyhow. But our intelligence agencies were very important. And, we know stories about Julia Child and her French cooking. She was part of the OSS, Marlene Dietrich, who had left Germany to do anything she could against the Nazis. People like Arthur Schlesinger, the writer, Ralph Bunch, the diplomat. But what was interesting about Wild Bill Wild Bill Donovan, I got the wrong period in American history. He really felt that you had a whole array of people. So he got someone like the athlete who could speak so many languages, the intelligentsia that, could figure out the diplomatic ends. But he also got safecrackers out of jail so they could help in the effort. And, it's a precursor to the CIA. And I'm hoping one day there'll be a TV series based on all the wonderful stories of the OSS.
It's interesting. We talked about the sound clips of Babe Ruth's daughter. Another source of some of the great interviews in this that you had was from a movie that never got released, The Best Gloveman in the League. Some interviews that were done in the late 80s and early 90s of people that knew Moberg, his brother, Tommy Thomas, who was one of the pitchers that threw to Moberg. So how important...
John DiMaggio, William Colby. I'm really lucky. I mean, it's sad. 30 years ago, these two filmmakers took a lot of interviews, but they never made their film.
Mm.
I happen to know the cameraman because he had shot some interviews for the Hank Greenberg film. So when it was offered to me, this wonderful businessman in Phoenix, William Levine, said, I want you to make a film about Moberg. And, first he said, I want you to make a film about Sid Luckman, who was this Jewish football player. And I said, I don't like football. He said, what about Barney Ross, the boxer? And I said, I just like boxing more. And then he said, what about Moberg? And I said, of course I'll do it. I love baseball. He's just a great character and such a brave man. It just fit in my MO of making films about underknown Jewish heroes.
How important is that firsthand account, from his brother, hearing his brother speak about knowing him and growing up with him?
Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. And actually, you're there in Maine. His cousin Denise Seamus lives right there in Portland. I was able to go up and film her because she was a younger cousin, and she knew more of the stories through her parents. But the brother had some of the best insights, as well as, the people who played with him and the people who did missions and spied with him.
We're talking with Aviva Kempner about her film, The Spy Behind Home Plate. Well, the climax of the Moberg story involves him spiriting people out of Europe, people like physicist Antonio Ferri, and then the confrontation, the conversation with Werner Heisenberg, that is as suspenseful as any work of fiction that you'll ever see. That was such a tremendous story. And then the conversation with Heisenberg's son is a tremendous button to that.
Oh, wait, don't give it up. Who lives in New Hampshire, by the way. So, actually, the New England trip I made last year were four key interviews. Tom Powers, who wrote the book on Heisenberg, Nicholas Davidoff, who wrote the definitive biography on Moberg, and then Heisenberg's son, those two were in Vermont. Heisenberg's son was in New Hampshire, Joaquin Heisenberg, and then the cousin in Maine. So thank you, New England.
Well, thank you for the wonderful work you've done on this film and your career of telling the story of America, and particularly Jewish Americans. The movie is so tremendous. The Spy Behind Home Plate, Aviva Kempner, it's been a real thrill for us to talk with you this afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us.
And just check out the website, spybehindhomeplate.org, to know where the film's playing. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It is a wonderful film. The Spy Behind Home Plate, Aviva Kempner, here on Downtown.